that you will plan on being here next week as we wrap up this series on the advent of Christmas and looking forward. In fact, that's what we've been talking about for weeks now. This will be the fourth week. Next week will be the fifth week. Advent, the Advent season. Remember, I've told you a couple of times, Advent stands for arrival. It is the celebration that Christ has come and anticipation of the fact that he is coming one day. And so it combines both the first coming and the second coming in a celebration. And as we have, as we've done that, we have taken this week, and we have, not this week, over this month, we've lit the candles of hope, of peace, of joy, and this morning we light the candle of love. Remember now, as I've said before, these are symbolic. They aren't liturgical so much. We aren't a liturgical church, but they are symbolic, and they just represent the hope, peace, joy, and love that comes through the Christmas season. And I think the Lord has helped me to take those concepts, which oftentimes can be just they can be preached on over and over, and it's the same thing said, and helped us to look at them in some different ways. And I hope that he helps us to do the same thing this morning. As we talk about this morning, the greatest Christmas gift ever, we're talking about the aspect of love, the aspect of love. If you ask someone the question, what is the essence of Christmas? What is the essence of Christmas? In all likelihood, it will have something to do. It will center around the idea of giving. That more times than not, the answer you will get is that giving. Give the essence of Christmas is giving. Giving giving to another, and giving is central to Christmas. Giving is absolutely central to Christmas, and not this dirty Santa stuff. any of you haven't played Dirty Santa? You don't know what Dirty Santa is? I see a few hands don't know what Dirty Santa is. Let me just tell you what Dirty Santa is. Everybody comes to a party and brings a gift. And you they put the gifts on the floor, they give you a number, and everyone takes turns getting numbers. And so you get a gift and you open it, and everybody gets to see what you got. Well, if the next number, they start with one and go through 12 or 15 or however many they are. And the thing is this. If somebody gets a gift and opens their gift and likes your gift better than theirs, they can take your gift. Dirty Santa, that's dirty. Yeah, that's dirty. And it's interesting because as the game evolves, it is not just to get the best gift, but you want to stick somebody with the worst gift. That, I mean, you just watch it happen in the room. So this morning when we talk about giving, we're not talking about this dirty Santa stuff, right? giving. The thing about giving is this. Giving is central, absolutely central to Christmas. But it is nuanced in the gospel. It's nuanced in the Bible in a way. There's a certain element. When you go in a little deeper, you realize it's not just giving, but there's a nuance. There's something else to it, and that's what I want to talk with you about for a few moments this morning. There's a certain element about giving that makes it the best Christmas gift ever. And I want to talk with you about that. I want to go to a place, you know, John records some very interesting. John's gospel is different than the other gospels in the fact that they are mostly accounts of stories and things that happen, whereas John is presenting Christ as the Son of God. So he is telling stories and things that happen, but he is presenting God, he's presenting Jesus Christ as the Son of Man, the one who has come to redeem man. And so it's interesting, and there's a particular passage, there's a very familiar passage, but the context of it is very important. Nicodemus, remember, has just come to Christ. He is a Pharisee, and he begins to question Christ, but his questions are different than most of the Pharisees' questions. You know, most of the Pharisees' questions were just an effort to undermine Christ, to trip him up in some way, to make to fault his teaching in some way, or to make him look bad in front of the crowd. They had a motive, an ulterior motive in their question. But Nicodemus really wanted to know what Jesus and his teaching was really all about. In fact, he wanted to know so much, he understood what he was doing so much, that he came to him at night so that nobody else would see, nobody else would know. And so he came to him at night so that as a Pharisee, and the questions that he had to ask, he knew they were so different than the other questions that he needed to do it in secret so no one else would know. And you remember the conversation between Christ and Nicodemus when Christ says, what do you have to do to inherit eternal life? I mean, that's right. I mean, that's the ultimate question, isn't it? And Nicodemus, what do you have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, you and I have the benefit of reading through and understanding what that doctrine means. This was completely new. You got to put yourself in Nicodemus' place. He's like, do what? be born again. And in fact, he actually says that. He doesn't say it in the way that you and I would have said it. He says, wait a minute. How can a man who is grown return to his mother's womb and be born again? What are you talking about? And remember, Jesus says to him, you must be born of the flesh and of the spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And you must be born again. That is, you must be born once in the flesh, but you must be born again a second time in the spirit if you are to inherit eternal life. And that was the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And then comes what I believe is perhaps the most recognized verse in all of Scripture. It and maybe Psalms 23 are the most recognized, and this is probably the most recognized in the New Testament. It's a simple scripture that all of you know. John 3:16 is coming up on the screen. I want you to say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I can recognize many of you are like me. You have memorized this verse, and you memorized it in the King James Version. And some of the others are just reading it. They're getting it right, per se, as far as this text is concerned in the New Living Translation or the NIV. But yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a little more familiar to some of us old guys that are in the room, or some of you old guys. I'll just let you decide that. What is fascinating about this text, though, what is fascinating about this scripture, is that we read through it out of the context of what Nicodemus... This is all about eternal life. This is all about what do I have to do to have eternal life? And so Jesus... John records what Jesus has taught after he tells us about Nicodemus. And it's interesting. I want to walk through this scripture and unpack it. Let me just unwrap this gift just a little bit this morning and talk about this scripture. And then I want to show you some things about God's love, because this verse is really all about God's love. Ultimately, that's what this verse is all about. For God so loved, the word love there means, it means great affection and care. Great affection and care. It's the word agape. It goes beyond just a brotherly love. It goes beyond a neighborly love. And it's not a romantic love in any way. It is that there is such affection, that there is such care, that one will actually take action. One will actually do something. I want you to know this morning that God cares for you. And the ultimate demonstration of that was the Christmas gift that was given 2,000 years ago that would eventually become the Lamb of God who would sacrifice himself for you and I. God cared for you. God had such affection for you and caring for you. God is not an aloof God. This way off out there somewhere, Tom, and doesn't know. Instead, he's a God that loves Tom. He's a God that loves Geraldine. He's a God that loves Ben. Yes, even Ben. Great affection. Great care. Think of someone that you love dearly. What is it that you want to do most, especially when there you want to do something, you want to show affection, you want to show care in some way. And so this word love, when it says for God so loved the world, it stands for great affection and great care, that God so loved that he gave. Have you heard me say this again before, but I want you to hear it again this morning. Listen, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you love, it requires you to do something. And this word gave here is an interesting word. It does mean gift. It does mean gift, but it's a little deeper than that. It means a sacrificial gift. It means a person that is willing to sacrifice, to endure a loss even for the one that they love. I want you to know this morning that God so cared for the world, that is all of us, that he was willing to endure a loss, to suffer as a father would give his son to us. That is the extent, that is the that is gift there, a sacrifice, an enduring loss. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. There is no one else like Christ. He is the one and only. He is the one and only virgin born, sacrificial lamb, risen again. Jesus Christ is. Now here comes the other word. The other word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, whosoever. That word is very interesting in the fact that it means, watch this, it means each, or it means every individual considered personally. You understand, don't you, this morning, that God didn't just so love the world that he gave his only begotten son for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for JR. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for Gail. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for Michael, that he considered every single one of us individually. I am so glad this morning that I am not just counted as part of the world, but that you and I are loved individually and personally by him, each one considered individually. So every person, watch this, whosoever, I love whosoever. That means that you, listen, that includes us, church, whosoever. You do understand, don't you, that for a long time, there was a teaching that didn't believe that we were part of the whosoever, but God, Jesus broke through that wall, the Jewish wall, and broke down the wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles and made us, Paul says, all one family. We are part of whosoever. Whosoever, watch this, believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That word eternal life is an interesting word. It doesn't just mean living forever. It means life, forever life. It doesn't just mean living forever. It means eternal life. You do understand, don't you, there's a difference this morning between living forever and having forever life. The word life here actually means vitality. It means a measure of happiness and fullness and fulfillment. It is a matter of exuberance and energy and vitality. It is this idea of living. Listen, I don't want to live forever if there's not going to be life in that living, right? I want to live with the forever life that you and I inherit in Christ is that total package of healthiness and happiness, exuberance and energy and vitality. I am thankful this morning. I'm not just living forever, but I've got eternal life in Jesus Christ. What a great gift that is to us this morning. God so loved. See, that word love is what hinges this whole scripture. That God loved you and I enough that he would send his son to be born in a manger, to live as a man and to die on a cross as the Lamb of God for you and I, to go to a borrowed grave that he might rise again and be our soon coming king. You see, God had such affection for man that he gave the gift of his son. Let me say that again. And you need to think of it this way. Sometimes we read right through this verse and we don't think what it means. God had such great affection for men that he made a gift of his son. You just got to stop and ponder on that. I mean, his son, he gave his son. Sometimes when we think about that, we don't ponder all of what that meant and all of what was going on with the father. You see, sometimes we try to relate to it. And I remember one time it dawning on me. It's not that, because sometimes we hear God gave, and so you must give yourself. God did beyond that. See, watch this. I picked on Ben a moment ago. Let me redeem myself a little bit here just a moment. See, it is not the human equivalent. It is not that God gave his life for Ben, and so then Ben gives his life to God. That's watch what happened here. It's as though Ben, it's one thing for Ben to lay down his life, but it is not as though Ben gave his life. It is that Ben, come here, buddy, gave Jaden Wow. That goes to a whole nother level, right? It's because it would be easier for me, Ben, to lay down my life than to give my son. But God, thank you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed on him should not perish but have eternal life. It's this love. That's what hinges all of what we have been talking about for weeks. It hinges on this love. God so loved that he made a gift of his son so that every single individual person that accepted this gift could have genuine, authentic life that encompasses happiness and healthiness, energy and vitality. That's a Christmas gift, church. That's the greatest Christmas gift ever. Let me put it another way. God loved you so much that he gave his son so that when you accept that gift, you might have life full and everlasting. That's a Christmas gift. Giving is central to Christmas, but it is the gift of love. It is the gift of love. It is that gift given in love. You see, Dirty Santa is one thing. I don't see any love in the room when we do Dirty Santa. In fact, there might be some love lost in the room before it gets finished. No, he gave this gift of love. That's what sets this gift apart from every other gift. It is the ultimate gift of love. It is the ultimate sacrifice. God so loved you so much that he gave his son that when you accept him, you might have life full and everlasting. In fact, someone made this observation about this verse, and then I want to talk about love just for a few moments this morning. I want you to look at it. Somebody made this observation of this verse. That this verse captures the breadth, and it captures the length, and it captures the depth, and it captures the height of God's love. Watch this. The breadth of God's love. Watch what it says. For God so loved the world. Think of the breadth, the breadth of that love, that it is captured in that idea. He so loved, that his love reached further than anyone had loved before. It captures the breadth of that love. Not only is that, it captures the length of God's love. Watch this. God captures the length of love in that he gave his son. You understand, there was no limit to the extreme that God would go to show and demonstrate his love for you, so much so that he gave his only begotten son. What love that is that captures you and I in that love. It captures the breadth of his love because he loved the world. It captures the length of his love because he gave his only son. It captures the depth of his love. Whosoever. That word whosoever or whoever captures the depth of his love. You do understand, don't you, that some are deeper than others, but none are so deep that his love cannot reach to that depth and raise that one up. I am so thankful that God's love goes to a depth that is deeper than sin itself. Amen? That love captures the breadth because he loved. It captures the length because he loved whosoever. It captures the depth because his love captures whosoever. It captures the height. Watch this. It captures the height because it gives what? Eternal life. I often hear people talk about individual. What is their ceiling? Have they reached their ceiling? Have they got to the highest? I want you to know this morning, I don't think we have yet got to the ceiling, to the height of God's love. This verse captures the height, the breadth of God's love because he loved us. It captures the length of his love because he gave his only son. It captures the depth of his love because it includes whosoever will. And it captures the height of his love because it's eternal life. God's love in the Christmas gift was demonstrated for you and I. He made a gift of his son and therefore demonstrated his love for us. Now, Pastor, we've heard this verse and we've heard it preached on before, but what makes it different about Christmas? I want to talk with you just for a moment. The essence of Christmas is giving, but the essence of the true Christmas gift is a gift that is given in love. Let me unwrap that love just for another moment or two this morning, because there's some things, if you're taking notes, five things that I want you to write down, five words, just single words that I want you to write down, and so that we can just, as we unpack this gift this morning, I want to take a moment and just unpack the Christmas gift of love this morning. One thing about that gift is this: that love is undeserved. That love is undeserved. You do understand, don't you, this morning, that you and I do not deserve this Christmas gift. We don't. You remember the naughty and nice list. You remember the naughty. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. I got news for you this morning. When it comes to God's love, we were all on the naughty list. Right? They didn't anybody do anything to deserve the gift of God's Son. We were all on the naughty list. We were all getting a lump of coal, so to speak. But I want you to know this morning that He has transformed us by His love and by His Son and moved our name from the naughty list to the list of everlasting life. Amen? But it was undeserved. It was undeserved. I hear people say all the time, I want to get what I deserve. I don't want to get what I deserve. Right? No, I don't want to get what I deserve. I want to get the gift that God gave me instead of what I deserve. This love is undeserved. It was the greatest. It was the gift of mercy. It was the gift of grace. It was the gift of love to you and I. The greatest gift that is ever given. And it was totally and completely undeserved by you and I. Can I tell you something this morning? That makes this love so much more unique and special, if you will. Why? Because not one of us deserved it, but He's offered it to every one of us. It was undeserved. I'll tell you something else about this love. This love is unearned. It's not only undeserved, it is unearned. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that you haven't done anything, nor can you do anything to earn that Christmas gift. That's what part of what makes it a gift, is that I can't earn it. I can't be good enough to gain it. I can't do enough to gain it. I can't serve enough. I can't preach enough. I can't pray enough to gain it. It was completely unearned by you and I. I can't give, work, serve, go. I can't do enough to deserve this. It was completely unearned by me. I did nothing that would earn me this gift. It was totally and completely a gift of His mercy and of His grace for me. That makes that gift so unique to us. This gift of love is undeserved, is unearned. Here's maybe one of the best parts of it. This gift of love is unconditional. Wow. Unconditional. His love for you and I, what it means is that the gift is unconditional. That means it is without prerequisite. Right? It is without prerequisite. There didn't come this. There's not this list, Tom, with His love. There's not this list that tells me if you do these things, I will. His love was unconditional. In fact, while we were yet sinners, God loved us and gave Himself for us. It's completely unconditional. In fact, it's interesting. What that says when you say that it was unconditional, what that says is that the one who knows us best loves us most. Oh, come on now. The one who knows us best loves us most. Let me see if I can demonstrate this way. Any of you remember you remember that Christmas classic, I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas? Remember what it says? I'm getting nothing for Christmas because I ain't been nothing but bad. I broke my bat. Have you ever paid attention to the lyrics of this? I broke my bat on Johnny's head. On Johnny's head, somebody snitched on me. I hit a frog in sister's bed. Somebody snitched on me. I spilled some ink on mommy's bed. I made Tommy eat a bug. I bought some gum with a penny slug and somebody snitched on me. I'm getting nothing for Christmas because mommy and daddy are bad. Really? I won't be seeing Santa Claus because somebody snitched on me. He won't come and visit me because somebody snitched on me. Next year I'll be going straight. Next year I'll be good. Just wait. I'll start now, but it's too late. Somebody snitched on me. In other words, hey, listen, why mess up the rest of the year? You know, just finish it out. And... you know what the truth is? God knows all of your faults. He knows all of the faults. Nobody had to snitch on you. God knows. He knows Ben and he knows Glenn and he knows Drew and he knows Tom. He knows Woody. He knows everything about you. And yet the God that knows you the best loves you the most. What an amazing, incredible, passionate, forever kind of love that is. That the God that knows every fault, everything about me, he loves me the most. Nobody snitched on me. God just knows it. And I got to tell you this morning, I am getting something for Christmas. Even though he does know everything that is wrong with me. Why? Because that's his unconditional love. And God's not mad. God's not mad. God loves you unconditionally. This love is undeserved. This love is unearned. This love is unconditional. Let me tell you something else about this love. Just two more words. This love is unfailing. The adjective, when you look it up in the scripture, the adjective that is associated with love the most is the word steadfast. You see it over and over and over again. Steadfast, unfailing love. Steadfast, unfailing love. That's the adjectives that are most often associated with the word love is the word steadfast. I want you to know this word this morning. That word steadfast means constant, means forever, means never changing. His love is just there. His love, in some way, his love is just always. In fact, you remember how Paul put it? Paul put it in Corinthians. He said, this love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongdoings. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I am so glad this morning that God's love is unfailing. You have never gotten out of the reach of God's love, and his love will never fail to reach you. It's an unfailing love. Love what it says here. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. You know what that tells me? He doesn't have a naughty and nice list. He doesn't have a list. His love is never unfailing. It protects, it trusts, it hopes, it perseveres. Love never fails. God's love is undeserved. God's love is unearned. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unfailing. And the fifth thing this morning is God's love is unparalleled. There is nothing that even comes remotely close. This is the greatest Christmas gift ever. And there's never been another gift like the gift of Christ into your life and my life. That love, his love is unparalleled. Nothing compares to it. Nothing comes close to the gift that God gave us at Christmas. This is the gift of love. This is truly the best Christmas gift ever. Can I get an amen this morning? God's gift of love truly did and does change everything. This gift changes everything, right? When God stepped into time, into the middle of time, he changed everything from this up to this point. Everything was deserved. Everything was earned. Everything was conditional. There was a failing aspect to it. But when God came, it changed everything. Now it's undeserved and unearned and unconditional and unfailing, and it is unparalleled. So what do you do with this gift? What do you do with this gift of love? Here it is. Just the main point that I'm trying to get to this morning is when you accept God's love, the gift of his love provided in Jesus Christ, it will change your life and your world. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm going to be talking a little more about this next week. You're going to want to be here. But God's love, listen, God's love changes people. God's love changes people. It makes them different people. God's love changes people. I want to tell you something else too. God's love can change a situation. I've seen it, and some of you have seen it as well, when you've been at a difficult situation and you just keep loving and you keep loving and you keep allowing God to love through you and allowing him to love through you. God's love can change a situation. I'm not saying it always does. I'm saying God's love can change a situation. Amen? God's love. God's love will change a relationship. God's love will change a workplace. God's love changes everything. God's love changes homes. God's love changes everything. God's love, this love. So what do you do with it? What do you do with that? You accept that love and you let that love work its way out through you as you parent, as you go to school, as you go to work, as you go to the restaurant, as you interact with people, you allow this gift of love to change not only you, but you allow it to change others. God's love is the greatest gift of Christmas that there ever was, this gift of love. And so this week, Pastor, what do we do with this? How do I move forward with this? What do I do with this love? This week, can I ask you to do this morning? To just take a few moments this week and reflect on God's love in your life. God's love in your life. Take just a minute this morning. What difference has God's love made in your life? And just ponder on that and think on about it. Where were you? What condition were you in when God's love found you? What place in life were you in when God's love found you? How far away from him were you? How anti-God were you when God's love found you? Right? How messed up with you? Some of you may be sitting here this morning and you may be saying, Pastor, I was a pretty good person all of my life. Can I tell you something this morning? There are no degrees of sin. The word says all men have fallen short of the glory of God and are in need of a Savior. I'm telling you this morning, God's love, think about the situations in your life that God's love has changed. And then as you begin to ponder and think about that this week, ask God to show you someone that needs to see that love in their lives. I'm told that at Christmas season and at Easter season, in our culture, in American culture, in Western culture, those two seasons of the year, people are more open to conversation, spiritual conversations than any other time of the year. You know what that means? That means you and I have about 9 more days, about 9 more days to take advantage of this season and to speak that love. And you may have a co-worker that you work with. And I don't know, this is not part of the notes, so just maybe this is registered. You may have a co-worker that you're working with that you know they belong on the naughty list. Maybe they're nasty in their attitude. Maybe they're backbiting in their actions. Maybe they're deceitful in the office. Can I tell you something this morning? It may be that what they need is a glimpse of God's love. I can tell you this, you won't win them by being nasty back. You won't win them by being backbiting back. What you are more likely to win them with is the love of God. The love that was undeserved for you and unconditional to you. The love that was unearned and unfailing in your life. The love that is unparalleled. Ask God for an opportunity to show them that love this week. I don't know how to tell you to demonstrate that. God knows. And he will tell you how to demonstrate that love in their life. But I can tell you this morning. The greatest Christmas gift is Jesus Christ. And the greatest pivotal aspect of that is the love that he's given to you and I. So this Christmas season, I invite you this next week to reflect on God's love in your life and to share that gift of love with someone else. Can I get you to stand this morning? Father God, we thank you and we praise you this morning for the gift of your love. The gift of your love into our lives, Lord. So undeserved, so unearned, so unconditional, so unfailing, so unparalleled. Thank you for that gift of love in our lives, Lord. And I pray this morning, God, that you would begin right now to impress on our hearts someone that may need, that we may need to share this gift of love with. Let this be a week, God. Let this be a week, Lord, when we share that gift of love that you've given us. But right now, here in this sanctuary, there may be someone that they themselves do not feel that love. God, I ask you to come this morning. Lord, if there's a teenager here that doesn't feel the love of God in their life, I pray that this morning, God, you would begin to surround them with the love of the Father. Put your arms around them, God, and let that love, Lord, surround and keep them this morning. Thank you, Lord, for that love, God. That Lord, if there is an older person this morning, God, that is here that maybe feels forgotten by family, maybe they feel like no one cares and no one understands, Lord, I pray that this morning, God, that your love would fill their home and fill their heart, God, in a way, Lord, that it would be almost tangible in their lives. They would understand and know the love of God in their lives, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. God, there may be a marriage that is here this morning. For some reason, somehow, Lord, the love of God has seemed to have left that marriage. I pray that this morning, God, you would begin, Lord, to heal that relationship with your love. Heal that relationship this morning. I thank you and I praise you for it today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a moment. And I just want to speak to a couple of things this morning. As I was praying a while ago, I spoke to the teenagers. I've read recently that the thing teenagers need the most is to know that they are loved by someone. I want to tell you, teenagers, God loves you, and your pastor loves you, and this church loves you. God loves you this morning. He loves you this morning. There may be someone else this morning. I'm just going to pause here. I don't feel the release unless I take a moment and do this. And maybe somebody here this morning is a pastor. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the prayer. But I cannot walk out of here without a real sense of God's love in my life. And if that's you this morning, can I get you to just step out real quick? And I'm just going to pray a special prayer over you before we go. If that's you this morning, you were in a situation or a circumstance, Pastor, I cannot face this week without knowing God's love is unparalleled and unfailing in my life. If that's you this morning, I just want to pause here and give a moment for you. If you'll just step out, and I want to pray with you before we dismiss and go this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for your enduring love and your unparalleled love this morning, Lord. We praise and we thank you for it. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I do, Lord, I just sense it strongly this morning. There is someone. They cannot face this week without your love. They cannot face this week without knowing your love is unfailing. And Lord, for whatever reason, they just didn't feel the freedom, or they didn't have, Lord, the nerve to step out this morning. But God, I pray that you would surround them. Saints, won't you agree with me this morning? This is strong. Somebody this morning is facing a week that they cannot face without the love, the tangible, real presence of God's love in their life. And so, God, I pray right now that, Lord, not only will you surround them and love them, Lord, that you will put those around them, God, that can show and demonstrate them the love of God this morning. Let them know, God, they are loved by you, and that love is unfailing, God, and will never let them go. I thank you, and I praise you for it. And this week, God, when they're in the midst of that situation, let them know that your love is greater, your love is higher, your love is bigger, your love is deeper, God. We thank you for your love this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Can I encourage you again? Next week's going to be a little different service, but you are going to appreciate it. I think it'll be meaningful in your life. And if for someone that you know, that needs to know that they need the light and life of God in their lives. They may be lost, but they may not be lost. You know, there's a lot of Christians walking around that need more of the light and life of God in their lives. And if you know someone like that, can I pray and ask you to bring them next week? And let's celebrate on that last Sunday before Christmas. till we see you again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you this morning.